All right, so turn to your Bibles, if you would, to Ecclesiastes chapter...
What book is
Ecclesiastes.
That? Oh, is that the New or Old?
Old Testament.
Okay, all right. I haven't got there yet. I'm finishing Kings 2.
Hey, there you go.
I've got a ways to go.
No, I mean, that's right around the corner.
Is it? Okay.
Yep. You have, nice. what are known as the historical books, which that is the history of children of Israel. And then we go into poetic books, which the first poetic book is the book of Job, the second one be Psalms, third one be Proverbs, and then Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes are the words of Solomon, the second king of Israel. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I'll go ahead and read the whole chapter, and then we'll expound on what it is God wants us to know. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, the Bible reads, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their hearts, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is a gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it, that man should fear before him, that which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, and that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. I said in mine heart, concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Everyone that befalleth them, as the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go unto one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own work, for that is his portion, for who shall bring him to see what shall be after him?" So, we just finished what, you know, some arguably talk about is the wisdom book of Ecclesiastes, the words of Solomon, the wisest king in Israel at the time. When Solomon was brought up with his father David, you know, he was obviously taught a lot of wisdom. Now, obviously he was given supernatural wisdom after the fact when he became king, because God asked Solomon a question and said, "What do you want that I give you?" And he asked for wisdom so that he can help rule the children of Israel. And you know, God said, you didn't ask for gold, you didn't ask for the necks of your enemy, you didn't ask for other things, but because you asked for wisdom, I will give you gold and the necks of your enemy, and things like that. So what this chapter is emphasizing is a lot of compare and contrast. A time to hate, a time to love, a time of peace, a time of war. There's a time and a season for everything, the Bible says. So ultimately, the message that I want us to understand today from the Word of God is time management. You know, obviously we've been having a lot of free time in our hands in the last month and a half because of events that have been going on. And with or without, you know, epic events, we can find in our lives times in which we can manage ourselves. And I just got a job not that long ago where I am now a warehouse manager. So obviously we all have management experience. experiences in our lives, whether you're a child or you're an adult. Management of your time is an emphasis that the Bible has us to understand that is very important. For instance, the Bible teaches, you don't need to turn there, in Ephesians 5:16, it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Our time here on this earth is short in comparison to eternity. You know, even the Bible says, if a man live out the length of his days in a good old age, it's 70 years. So a score is 20, 70 and 10, you know, Abraham Lincoln's famous 4 scores and 7 years ago, or I don't know what the quote was, but he talks about a score being 20 years. So 70 years is what God says is a good life expectation of someone who just lives their natural life. And obviously people can live past their 70s, and some people don't even make it to their 70s. So we got to understand that we need to redeem the time because the days are evil. And if we understand as Christians, as Bible-believing Christians, that the time is short, then we need to make the most best use of our time for the glory of God, so that He can be glorified in everything. Now, I'm going to explain to you 3 biblical principles of time management that can help us to better utilize our time in every aspect of our life. Because we as Christians, though we are in the world, we are not of the world. Though we are in the world, we do have to get by day to day with work, chores, school, fill in the blank. And we don't want to go overboard on any one end of the spectrum. And that's why we see Solomon doing these compare and contrasts of like, there is a time of peace and there is a time of war. There is a time to love and there is a time to hate. So basically, we can understand more what it is and when it is we can invest our time management on things that are of eternal value. There is things that we invest that have no eternal value at all, and it's not even necessarily sinful. Brushing your teeth has nothing to do with eternal glory. But we brush our teeth so we have clean teeth, and we need to make sure we dedicate a time to brush our teeth. I mean, dentists say that like a minimum of 5 minutes a day should help your teeth health be good. I lost the ball in that when I was growing up, but brushing your teeth is something we need to set aside to manage our time to be able to have good teeth. And there are other things. So the first thing I want us to learn about time management is investing in spiritual things. I'm going to expound the 3 most, what I believe to be the most important to the least important. But when I go to expound on them, I'm going to explain the least important to the most important. So the first thing is spiritual matters. We need to find ourselves managing our time to invest in things of spiritual matter. Reading our Bibles, going to church, preaching the gospel, and so on and so forth. But a second thing that we need to invest in as people is our family, Ohana. You know, obviously, our family is a big part of our life, and we need to never neglect our family. Now, obviously, there are so many circumstances of different family dynamics, but nevertheless, family is that thing that will go with you all the way to the end. And I've had a saying told me from my sister a long time ago, and at the time I didn't understand it, but obviously it makes so much more sense and has to do with wisdom. One time my sister was coming back from California back here in Kauai, and a friend of mine was also coming back at the exact same time, my friend Colin. And when they both got here, I went to go see my friend Colin above my sister at the airport to introduce him. And my sister understood, but she came up to me and she's like, you know, I was kind of bummed out you didn't come and see me at the airport because, you know, I've been away from Hawaii for so long, and then my brother, and I wanted to see you, and I know I will see you in the future, but I was hoping to see you at the airport. And my friend Colin, the same thing, he'd been gone for a long time, and I went to go see him. But here's the thing, he's not my family, though he's a good friend of mine. And Fauna told me this, my older sister, she says, blood runs thicker than water. And, you know, at the time, I'm thinking in my mind, like, what do you mean by that? But I get it. You heard the term fair weather friends? You know, friends that are not necessarily, you know, a man that hath friends must show himself to be friendly. And we need to invest in our friendships, but more than friendship would be family. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, but we're going to go into that as time goes on. So the first thing is spiritual matters. The second thing is our family. And the last thing that I'm going to show is basically any and everything else. Work, fun, activities, entertainment, and all these other things. And nevertheless, you need to find time to invest in things like your work, like entertainment, like hobbies. because, you know, a famous quote from a director was basically, all work and no play make Jacks go crazy. I don't know if you ever, is it from The Shining? I think that's where it's from. The one character, he's all about work, he's all about work, and then he goes crazy. We need to find time for relaxation. God doesn't want us to only just be these robots that are strictly working, and then we go to family, work, home, sleep, work, home, sleep. No, we need time for relaxation. We need time to have fun, but it is not the most important thing in our lives. It is the icing on the cake of our life. If you would, look down at your Bible in Ecclesiastes, we could see an example of that found in verse 4. It says, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. So obviously, laughter, dancing are things that have nothing to do with eternal glory, and just having good fellowship and fun times is important to just have relaxation, to be able to recharge our batteries. And, you know, there's a way to have clean, good fun and even dance, but, you know, we just want to make sure that it is not the driving force in our life. I just want to have fun everywhere I go all the time. Some people, when they look to build a career or a life, they're just thinking, I just want to have fun all the time. And it's like, you know, unfortunately, you didn't get that from the Bible. You got that from your own heart. And, you know, the heart is desperately wicked, and who can ultimately know it? You know, I know, doesn't it, when you ask a kid, what do you want to eat? What's the first thing that's going to come out of their mouth? Cake and ice cream. If they only live on cake and ice cream, they're going to die. They're malnourished. You know, it's important to have cake and ice cream. And I preached a message a couple months back called the Spiritual Diet of Christians. And basically, God lays out a diet for us to be able to function, and the Bible talks about that we eat for strength, not for pleasure. But there is times where God gives us food for pleasure. I mean, the famous quote of God to the children of Israel, and I'm sure all of you know this, I'm going to give you a land full of milk and honey. Milk has nothing to do with strength gained for an adult, but yes, for a baby, they need to survive off of milk. But you don't need honey to survive. Honey's not going to keep you alive, sustain you, but honey is an enjoyment. It's a sweet. God wants us to enjoy, you know, the labor, the works of our labor. He wants us to enjoy good things, but it is not the priority. It is the icing on the cake. So, number one I'm going to expound on is everything else, and now it's gone on family, and I'll expound on spiritual matters. Number one, let's go to, turn to chapter James. James is towards the end of your Bible. Of James chapter 4. So let's go ahead and start reading in verse 13. Look what it says. James chapter 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a time and then vanisheth away. So notice the first part in verse 13. It says, let's go into such and such a city, buy and sell and get gain. This is an entrepreneur trying to go into a foreign land, into somewhere else, buying products and basically selling them at wholesale and gaining gain. He says, let's go do that. Let's go invest in something of this world. But notice, it says in verse 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a little time, and then vanisheth away. Now, obviously, this is referring to work. For us, we should work. Men, we ought to provide for our family. The Bible teaches very clearly, you don't need to turn there. But in 1 Timothy, it says, but if any provide not for his own house, and especially for those of his own house, he is worse than an infidel. Infidel just means an unbeliever. So if any provide not for his own house, he is worse than an infidel. It is our job and duty as men to be able to provide for our families. Now obviously, when the curse fell on Adam and Eve, Eve was given the curse of being in pain and child rearing. But man was told that you will work by the sweat of your brow all the days of your life. So God designed us to provide for our families through the sweat of our brow. We are to work hard as men. This is what I'm saying. Work is a priority in our lives to be able to provide. And, you know, in our lives, you need to find time to invest in a career to be able to provide for, get the skills to pay the bills, basically is what I'm saying. If you're all work and no play, you're going to go crazy. But nevertheless, you need to work. The Lord says, 6 days shalt thou labor and one shalt thou rest. So obviously the rest is not an emphasis. It's the 6 days of work. And he's not saying work from 6 to 8 at night. He's saying work. And obviously the Bible teaches, I have not seen the righteous forsaken, neither his seed begging bread. And if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all things shall be added unto us. Things like clothes, food, housing, and all this stuff. But first we invest in the things of God. And, you know, if we acknowledge him in all our ways, he'll direct our paths. He'll guide us into the way that we can learn skills to be able to provide for our families or so on and so forth. But let's say you have a job, you know, like I said, I just got a new job, but I don't know. Let's say you are a carpenter. You know, just because you go into a field in general labor doesn't necessarily mean you'll be able to make enough to grow a career or to be able to one day provide for a family or even let alone for yourself. Because that passage that read for you from 1 Timothy said, if a man provide not for his own, and or also for his own household. I mean, there are people who aren't married, there are men who just are out in the workforce and they have low expenses, obviously. Feed yourself, clothe yourself, house yourself. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you plan to have a family, if you plan to support and provide for someone, you need to be able to, in a sense, make more money. Now here in Hawaii, we should understand this, that the cost of living is very expensive. So work is a thing in Hawaiian culture that we have always understood is of the most importance. Some people live on two incomes, dual incomes, three incomes. There's a time where my wife and I had 5 jobs amongst each other in the early part of our marriage. I would work 3 and she'd work 2. We're just high-fiving each other on the way through. And that was part of life living here in Hawaii. But you know what? Unfortunately, my mistake is I was not seeing the importance, and even in the first year of our marriage, investing in each other. The Bible talks about that when a man gets married, he's not even to go to war for the first year, but rather to fulfill the deed of a husband to a wife for the first year. That before, after that, then go ahead and go to war, invest in a vineyard, do all these other things. But the most important aspect of my life outside of the Lord Jesus Christ is my family. My wife became my family. You know, the Bible teaches that a man shall leave father and mother and cleave unto his wife. She is now my family. And she is cleaving unto me and trusting into me to provide for her. And I'm trusting her to provide for me in other ways. You know, things like what a woman is designed for. Things like nurture. Things like, you know, just honoring me and things like that. And there are so many more aspects. You know, the Proverbs 31 woman. You know, there's something wrong with women making money, but the Bible teaches that she is able to provide for her own, from her, not that it's her duty to do so, it's our duty as men to do so. As Jesus Christ is the head of the church, so every man is the head of his wife. And the children are under their parents. There's this structure that children, listen to your mom and dad. Wives, listen to your husband. Husbands, listen to Christ. So there's this chain of what is of time management importance. First, seek the kingdom of God, his righteousness, all things will be added unto you. Invest in a job, invest in a career. So that means when you are working a job, don't just try to be a laborman your whole life. Don't be a McDonald's employee your whole life. You can't provide for your own on a McDonald's employee salary. Now, if you grow to a manager position, great. If you work McDonald's and Burger King, hey, you're making more money, but nevertheless, you're now becoming diversified, you're learning multiple skills, you're like 2 different jobs. And something that I've been learning lately is there are times to slow down, to speed up, if that makes sense. The turtle and the hare analogy, you know, the hare wants to go fast in life and get everything now. The turtle slows down and he gets there quicker in the end. So there are times where you can invest in knowledge in your career. Maybe study to, if you're that carpenter, to get your own, you know, carpentry license, to make your own business, to be able to make better money, or become a journeyman and you're worth more, or be, specialize in a skill so on and so forth. I'm not going to sit here and expound on work only. I'm just saying when it comes to managing our time, we need to find what is worth investing. We have a short period of time here. Life is but a vapor. As we saw James just said a moment ago in chapter 4, verse 13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. They want to get gain. They want to make a financial increase. Whereas, you know not what shall be on the morrow, but what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. You know, that's what I'm trying to get at, is there's nothing sinful investing in the things that are of this world, profit your family, friend, so on and so forth. So, number one thing we need to have the emphasis on for time management is fun. Make sure after you're done working, you go on a hike, you go surfing, you hang out with friends, family. Invest in fun after you've worked hard throughout your day and week and year and so on and so forth. But the next thing I want to go into is family. Now turn, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy is just a couple of books to the left. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Look down at verse 14. Notice what it says. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. So I've spoken enough about men and our duties and our time management, but now I want to speak about the concept of women and young ladies. You know, the Bible is teaching right here, I will therefore. That's just basically saying, I want this for you. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Women's job is to invest in the family. You've all heard the saying, whoever rocks the cradle rules the world. Now, obviously, in the home, the mother is the housemaker. The one, no family is ultimately complete without a mother, without a wife. The wife is the one that keeps the home. She's the one that supports everyone, nurtures everyone. The Bible teaches, if you nurture a child in the admonition of the Lord, he'll be able to grow therein. And elsewhere, it talks about how in a family, ladies are going to help keep that. They're the glue that keeps everything together. Men may go out and bring the bacon, but women are basically making the bacon so we can all survive. And some people don't like that. But you know, ultimately, what does the Bible teach? Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Down at your Bible at verse 22. It reads, Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. So let me ask you this, wives, when you look at your husband, do you see the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you submitting yourself unto them as you would unto Jesus Christ? Because there are times where I'm, you know, my wife's not perfect, none of us are perfect, but I may tell her to do something and she may not look at me as Christ. She's like, you don't tell me what to do, and so on and so forth. But I say, hey, wait a second. If Jesus Christ told you this, would you do it? Now, like I was saying, no one's perfect. We're not without sin. But nevertheless, the Bible's teaching us very clearly, where should you invest your time? In your husbands, in your parents, in your wives. And it says, it continues to go on. Submit yourselves, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Let me pause there really quickly. Everyone thinks I may be attacking them, like, oh, David, who are you to tell me how to act as a wife? Men, are you loving your wives? You know, it's obviously easy for us to get busy with investing in that business or in that career, but are you stopping, as my mistake was, and not investing even in your own wife? Finding time to let her know how I love her unconditionally. It says, for the husband is the, or it says, therefore as the church is subject to Christ, so let every, or no, in 23, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, So let the wives be to their own husband. Husbands, love your wives. And notice it pauses with a comma there, which is not the end of the thought, but it's pausing you there. It's just saying, love your wives. You know, don't provoke them into wrath, but rather be there for them. You know, and there are times where I'm finally off. I have time to spare, extra time, right? You know, something that a lot of people like to do is go out to eat as a romantic night out, or they may go and do something together. But sometimes, you know, depending on the situation, even just making a meal for your wife may be something that they enjoy. You know, if you have a lot of kids in your household, finding grandma or aunt or uncle to watch the kids and just saying, hey, let's have a romantic night in. Let's you and I'll make you dinner. I'll massage your back, fill in the blank, whatever they like. And you can do that for them just to show them that, you know, they are what is most important. Your children are important to invest in. But the closest relationship we should have in our lives outside of the Lord Jesus Christ is our spouses. You need to love your children, but nevertheless, your children will grow up and move on and do their own thing and have their own life. But your wife will be with you, and your husband will be with you to the end. They are the ones that the closest relationship outside of the Lord should be our spouses. Leave father and mother and cleave unto your wife. And as we point out, it says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their own wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord of the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Remember, what is the greatest two commandments that Christ said? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. It just said, nevertheless, every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your wife as yourself. And in doing this, you'll fulfill the law. You'll be the one that a wife should look to and see that you are following Christ. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And man, you need to make sure you find time in your life to be able to invest in your wives and in your children. Outside of work. Work, enjoyment, pleasure, that's secondary. Family will come before that. Now, you don't neglect work, as we just saw earlier, if a man doesn't provide for his own, worse than an infidel. But if it came down to going to your daughter's dance recital or going to work, unfortunately you probably have to go first. Your daughter may not have a dance recital if you couldn't provide for her. But there are times when you need to make time to go to the recital sometimes. Go to the basketball game sometimes. Show them you care for them. Your wife wants to have a romantic night out sometimes. Invest in that. Outside of, I want to go to the beach and go surfing. Yeah, but your wife wants to go hiking. Invest in them. I mean, there are so many other ways we can apply this to our lives. So time management. Go sometimes and have fun. Go to work, enjoy, and work hard. And teach yourself to pay the bills. Why? Invest in your family. Invest in them. Make sure they bring up the children in the nurtured admonition of the Lord. And that husband can invest in our wife. And the next thing that we're going to go into is children. Notice what it says in chapter 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that I may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So obviously, you know, children, you need to honor your father and your mother. Honor there doesn't only mean to, like, respect them, though that is the primary application. It also implies that you financially support them in their later years. If you cross-reference it with other times the word honor is bringing up in the Bible, Paul talks about the Philippian church saying, I am glad that you honored me with your substance. And notice it says it's the first commandment with promise that thou mayest live long upon the earth. Ten Commandments, you know, love the Lord, no black, all the Ten Commandments. One of them, I think it's number 5, honor your father and mother, that thou mayest live long upon the earth. So it's the first commandment that if you do it, in exchange, you will live a long life, which is symbolizing a parent living a long life, and then the children, you know, the famous statement, I wiped your butt when you were a baby, now you need to wipe my butt on the way out. So it's just, honoring doesn't just mean respect, it means also caring for them in other ways. But children may not want to hear this. Time management, kids. Find time to not just do your chores, not just do your homework, do extra work. Go also mow the lawn, even though it wasn't asked of you. Honor your father and mother. If people decide to, you know, maybe you can make your parents dinner sometime, you know, and parents, if it's not good, just eat it and smile anyways, because they're trying. You know, we can help them. We can show them the way. You know, if you bring up a child in the way he should go when he is old, he will not depart from it. And also it does say, and we got to remember this, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Our jobs as parents is to discipline our children. We need to make sure foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, the Bible teaches. And turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 12. Unfortunately, our world today does not believe in physically disciplining children. But that's not what the Word of God says. The Bible teaches that if you spare the rod, you hate the child. Not that it is not what you don't want to do. Some people think that I don't want to spank them because I love them so much. No, it says if you spare the rod, you hate the child. If you bring up the child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, when he's old, he will not depart from it. If you spare the rod, you spare the child his soul from hell. Obviously, in our lives, we need to make sure we have time to discipline the children when they do wrong. And kids, you need to understand that your parents are disciplining because they hate you. They discipline you because they love you. They want you, as Christ would take the rod and guide the sheep. I mean, a rod is not a fun instrument to be beaten with. You know, and elsewhere in the Bible, it talks in Revelation that Jesus Christ will rule with a rod of iron, that he's going to come and direct his children and the rest of the world in wrath and things like that. So we need to not spare the rod. Rather, we need to love children and find time to discipline them. Because, let me say this, sometimes it's easy for mom to spank the kid. They're not getting it. Spank them again. They're still not getting it. And then you say, you know what? Wait till your father gets home. And then now they're really scared. Now they're like, oh no, dad's going to beat me real good. But the thing is, sometimes when you do that, you take the emphasis off of your role, mothers and wives, that they need to also respect you, not just dad and husband, but mom and wife too. That kids need to, as the Bible teaches elsewhere, be in subjection of their parents. Honor their father and mother in the Lord. And no kid's perfect, and no one is perfect. They're going to make mistakes. And we need to be quick to mercy and slow to wrath, but nevertheless, we don't spare the rod. That's what the Bible is clearly teaching. But why? Why would this happen? You're in Hebrews. Did you go to chapter 12? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 8, it reads, but if ye without chastisement, whereof are all partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Should we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily refer to our flesh and bodies, and a few days chasing us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit being partakers of holiness. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, yielding the peaceable fruit of righteousness in the way which are exercised thereby. So obviously the Bible says, we've had fathers of our flesh that disciplined us because they didn't want kids, footprints all along the walls, hanging over the chandeliers and making a mess and going crazy. Obviously, he did this for his own pleasure, so that there's order in the house. But God says, I chasten you for your profit, so that you can then live a life in holiness, righteousness, and so on and so forth. When you keep the commandment, look what it says. It says, for verily for a few days, chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, the famous, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. That's what that's saying. This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Even God. God doesn't want to discipline us, but he has to correct us. He, even God has time management. He has all the time in the world to do and act as he pleases. If you look at the Old Testament, you see a lot of God telling the children of Israel, I want you to do this. Don't go into this place. I don't want you to do that. Please do this. And they're not listening. And he says, you are a stiff-necked people. And he says, because of this, I'm going to rain down wrath on you. Because I love you and I want you to realize the error of your ways. And so on and so forth. Time management. What are we talking about? Managing time to have fun. Managing time to have work. Managing time to be good family members. Whether you're mom, dad, husband, wife, whoever you are, let's invest in our family. And never neglect the concept of discipline, because if you spare the rod, you will hate the child. It is important that we find time to discipline our kids when necessary. I'm not saying come down on them like a ton of bricks. Be quick to mercy. Understand that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And when you understand that, I mean, let me ask you this. You know, I stand here today, a sinner saved by grace, not able to, ultimately, always walk in the Spirit. When I do wrong, do you think God's ready to just come down on me on a ton of bricks? No. He's trying to get me to understand his ways, that his ways are not my ways, and his thoughts are not my thoughts. So as the heaven is above the earth, so his thoughts are above my thoughts. I may think that the right thing to do is left, and he's saying the right thing to do is go right. But if you start turning left, he's not just going to like slam down on me and say, no, that's what you're doing is that bad. And then you'll understand. And you need to learn through time and reading your Bible to know what makes God happy and sad with you. And that's the next thing I want to emphasize, is the importance of spiritual matters. We talked about other things, we talked about family, but the number one thing we need to invest in as Christians is spiritual matters, the words of God, church, things like that, because the Bible teaches ultimately, man shall not live by bread alone. Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, the Bible says that, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. So the bread of life, the words of God, is a daily consumption. We need to be reading our Bibles every single day. If you want to please your parents, children, if you want to please your husband's wife, husbands, if you want to please the Lord, you need to know what he wants of you. He tells us all the mysteries of the universe are found in this book. Any and everything you ever want to know about anything is found here. Anything is all in the Word of God. And he'll tell you, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he will direct your path. And that's what I want us to understand, is being in our Word, being in the Bible every single day. Turn to Matthew, if you would. Matthew chapter 10, the very first gospel, the Gospel of Matthew. We've just left the Old Testament in Malachi, and now we're in the New Testament. So basically, the first thoughts that God wanted us to know as New Testament Christians is right here, found in Matthew. Notice what it says in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10, verse 34. The Bible reads, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. We'll pause there really quickly. A lot of people see... You all right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm good.
Oh, okay. It says, think not that I... I thought you were looking for something.
I heard something make a noise, and it's not mine.
It says, think not that I have come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. A lot of people think Jesus Christ is this lovey-dovey, long-haired, hippie, never can do wrong, just all about love person. He just said, I've come not to bring peace. I came not to send peace, but a sword. And elsewhere in the cross-reference of another gospel, it says, I brought division. Division against who? For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and against and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and the man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Let's pause there really quick. That's a hard pill to swallow. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. So the Bible's telling us the number one most important thing is not my wife, is not my dad, it's not my mom, it's not my children, it's Jesus Christ. We need to follow, pick up our crosses and follow him. And in doing this, it'll make me understand how to love my wife. And in doing this, this will teach you how to love me. And in doing this will teach children how to love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his own children or for his friends. And the Bible's telling here, if you're trying to gain your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for my name's sake in the gospel, referring to Jesus Christ, he says you will gain it. And elsewhere it talks about, turn if you would to Mark, the next gospel over, Mark. No one wants to preach on that subject. No one wants to talk about, put Christ number one. Like, this isn't a game. This isn't like, oh, it's a nice thing to say. It makes sense to just say Jesus always first. But are you willing, personally, in your life, to neglect your own loved ones for Jesus Christ? We see examples of men in the Old Testament. Moses, the great man that he was willing to neglect his own wife and children to do what God said, to lead the children out of the land of Egypt. And there's other examples of prophets in the Old Testament, apostles in the New Testament, and we see that in Mark 10. Mark 10, of course I didn't write the reference down, but it says in verse 29. Oh, there it is. So this is in reference to Peter asking him a question. It says in verse 28, Mark 10, 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Because he said, if you're not willing to leave everything, you're not worthy of it. So what's the outcome of you doing that? And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house, or brethren, or sisters, or fathers, or mothers, or wives, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive an hundredfold, now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Look, it's easy for me to say, Louisa, you are not number one in my life. But when push comes to shove, when the stuff hits the fan, and my wife is telling me, I don't want to read my Bible today. I don't want to go to church today. I don't want to preach the gospel. Who do I listen to, my wife or Jesus Christ? When she sees me following Christ, as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, it is going to influence her to want to follow Christ. So in doing this, it says, if you forsake lands, children, mothers, wives, and all these things, you will gain father, children, mother, lands, wives. You know, I just came back from Arizona. I've been gone for 4 years. I've, in a sense, forsaken lands. This is the most beautiful place on the planet. Why not go to a church here? What's wrong with the churches here? Because I'm trying to do a real work for God. I'm trying to follow what I believe to be the best influences on Christianity as I humanly possibly could to bring back into Hawaii, to show the people of Hawaii how to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, because I was willing to leave land. I was willing to leave my family for the gospel's sake. Now I dragged my wife with me, because what if she didn't want to go? I'm still going. And in doing this, when you get someone saved, when someone believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, know for an eternity. Notice it says, for those who invest in things of this world, well, of this world, and reap the things of this world. Like I was saying, turn actually back to, if you would, to Ecclesiastes that we read chapter 3, but just one chapter before it, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, it says, I'll give you a second to get there, Ecclesiastes chapter 2. If you open your Bible right in the dead smack middle, that's Psalms, and two books after that of Ecclesiastes. This is, remember, Solomon, we just read him in the beginning. He's saying there's time and a season to invest in everything. But notice what it says in Ecclesiastes 2, verse 7. This is his opinion on the matter. I got me servants and maidens, and servants born in my house. Also, like, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gather me also silver and gold and precious treasures of kings and of provinces. I gave men singers, or got me men singers and men singers, and the delight of the sons of men, and musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. What good is it that you invest in an empire on this planet? You invest in a business that becomes a multi-million-dollar business. When it burns, it is gone. It's gone. What good? Men like to leave back a legacy. You know, a business that they, and it is true that it is good for, the Bible teaches, to leave an inheritance for your children. But think of it like this. If we understand that heaven is forever, and this world is but for a short time, and we're pilgrims and sojourners coming as we go, the things of this world are not that important in sight of eternity. Your business will burn. The car will burn. The dog, sorry, Louisa, is going to burn. Things that are not important. The Bible teaches that the things that are seen are temporal, and the things that aren't seen are eternal. Let's invest in each other. Family, time management, invest in your neighbor. Preach to your neighbor the gospel. Go down the street. Go down the road. Go to the island next over. Preach the gospel to the lost. And this is what God will look down at and bless your doings. And in doing this, he may provide you a nice house. He may provide for you a nice job. He may provide for you, fill in the blank. If we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all things shall be added unto us. And whether we get nice things or not, we don't forsake, as Job said. Job made it very clear. Naked came I into this world, and naked shall I return. For the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What is most important in our lives is spiritual matters. And if you would, turn to 1 Corinthians. It's the last thing I want you to see. 1 Corinthians, chapter 3, Romans. Romans is after the book of Acts, right outside of the Gospels. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Notice what it says in verse 10. 1 Corinthians 3, 10, it says, according, oh, I'm in the wrong spot. 3, yeah, 3, 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Watch this part. But he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. The Bible teaches very clearly, to be saved from our sins, we need to believe alone in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Once you believe on Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, you are a child of God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are born into his family. And we can never lose our salvation because we put our faith in him. He says, your sins are as far as the east is from the west. The Bible says elsewhere in Romans 4 that he will not impute sin unto you because he loves his children. He died for all our sins. And in doing this, we are going to sin in the future. Sin is not if you do in the future. It's when you do it. You've got to understand, as Jesus said, you need to pick up your cross and follow me. You need to be able to deny yourself, put on the new creature, which is the born-again spirit, and put off the deeds of the old man. Meaning that it's not that you're going to do this. But nevertheless, like I said, there's nothing sinful with brushing your teeth. There's nothing sinful with just investing in things of this world. But the Bible's saying right here that things that are of this world are known as wood, hay, and stubble. But there are gold, silver, and precious stones. And those are things of eternal value. Investing in each other, investing in the lost, investing in the church, investing our time in reading our Bibles. You'll never find yourself less benefited for reading your Bible more. And this is the last thing I'll leave you on with that thought. Because I want you to take this thought and throughout the rest of your life and week and year and month. Reprioritize how things go. Manage your time accurately. You know, it's easy for us to wake up and turn on the news right away because of an event's going on or just in general. And then after you turn on the news, you want to, you know, learn a little bit more about your job and you read some news things about your job. And then you know, want to learn more about, you know, child rearing or fill in the blank. You know, a friend of mine taught me this a long time ago and it was very enlightening because it really helped me to progress in my Christian life. But what he would do for him and his children and his family is the first thing he would do is he would stack everything how he wants it in order. So let's say he was a locksmith at the time. He wants to learn more about locksmith stuff. And let's say he reads, and a teenager reads Us Weekly magazine or whatever. I think it's a dumb magazine, but let's say that's what they like. And you have the weekly magazine up top, and then you have your homework on top, and above that you have the Bible. This prioritizes what's important. You want to go for your phone immediately and go on YouTube and see all the fun, weird things that are going on. Put the phone underneath it all. Put the Bible up top. Put whatever next important, your family endeavors, your career endeavors, entertainment endeavors, phone on the bottom. And then in doing this, you have a right perspective to be able to go into life, to be able to help you manage your time. If you read your Bible 15 minutes a day, you can read the whole Bible in 1 year. And can we spare 15 minutes? Can we? I know life is busy. There's a lot going on. But 15 minutes, I mean, come on. It takes 50, everyone can spare 15 minutes to read their Bible. And I'm not saying you have to be an epic reader. You don't need to be like, just read it. And some people have different rules of like, I read it until I get something. It's not sometimes the funnest thing to do is read the Bible. I'll admit that. Sometimes I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to read my Bible, but I do it anyways because I seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then because of that, things will be added unto me. So that's what I wanted us to know, is how to better manage our time. You know, with what was going on, people are investing in all sorts of things. You know, my wife has been gardening a lot lately, and I've been loving that, and I've been happy about that, but I'd rather her read her Bible before she go gardening. I'd rather her... You know, and unfortunately, churches aren't getting together right now, but in times like this, the Bible makes it very clear. It says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. So much for more. Needing more church, not less church. And any and every time the church doors are open, go. Priority number one. And then, all the rest. And in doing this, we will know how to be pleasing to the Lord to help us better our future Christian lives. And that's what I wanted everyone to know, is how to manage our time and prioritize what is most important, spiritual, family, and everything else. So let's go ahead and bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for giving us the bread of life that we can be nurtured and nourished in your word to be able to be spiritually filled and not malnourished, but help us to continue our week and days and months to just, you know, have good time management, because we know that the days are short and evil, and we want to make sure we invest everything we can in this short time to you of most importance, and that way we can be better stewards of your work. And in Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.